So we are in a really fun place at the Hampton Inn. We are sitting and enjoying the scenery and enjoying the little noises at the front desk, and the coffee is so much closer to us.
There you go.
And I'm enjoying that. So today is about, still with the book Anatomy of Healing Prayer, the anatomy of prayer, and we are dealing with healing, spiritual healing. So spiritual healing, as we've known in, following through with where we came from with all the different different lessons we have learned up until now, has to do with, the oneness of the universe. It has to do with, knowing that God is unlimited, knowing that knowing that there is a principle and a law that the universe depends on in order to understand where our faith, where our intuition, where our prayers, it's the oneness of the human sort of expression of God. And even me is kind of getting a little bit off course here. So it's about God as the one existence. God is one, and that is the basis of all healing. So healing doesn't come from one area and, okay, we are praying to a specific person for healing, or we are looking to a specific source for healing, or we are, it's not outside of us. Healing is definitely within us. It is what God is. And so there are basic aspects of healing, spiritual healing, and that comes from knowing that it's all one. That's the number one picture of healing. So if we know that it is all one, and within this oneness has all the potential, has all the fullness, and from this one where we pray from, where we have the faith, where we intuit, where we understand that, yes, it's coming from us, coming from within us, but it's also coming from a source of a place where, it's a law, it's a circular sort of thought pattern. So if I follow my notes, God is one, and there is one existence. We talked about nature with the song The Colors of the Wind. We know that we are not in conflict with nature, and that nature in itself is also one. Nature is one system. God is one system. It's the oneness of it all. So let me go through my notes a little bit here. And so spiritual mind treatment should and can be effective in everybody's life. So we are saying treatment now because it's so interrelated with healing. Treatment is the next step that is in the book, but we are going to just talk more about healing. So even if you hear treatment, it is part of the whole process of healing and in healing. All right. So in its use, we do not need to disallow any other form of healing, particularly in connection with physical health. What I thought was interesting was there was a statement that Ernest Holmes made. He said, we should leave ourselves open to accept any form of healing, whether it be from medicine, surgery, psychiatry, diet, exercise, or anything we desire. So open ourselves to healing. However, properly understood, it's all one. And it all comes from the one source, which is all existent, which is God, the source of all things, of all nature. All right? And so what I also thought interesting is that he said that there would be like a new discovery where people would realize that the source of all these things that we are looking to, so medicine, surgery, psychiatry, they would all kind of blend together in one. And this is, he said this what in the 1920s, 19th. And now look where we are. We are in a point where they are suggesting exactly what we are doing on the table. You know, start healing your mind by you know, letting go when you pay attention to knitting, when you pay attention to, and not paying attention really, but when you just release the heavy duty stuff from your everyday living and just go with the flow of where your mind wants to go, that is part of the healing process. Another part is the, you know, healing, they're integrating medicine, psychiatry with meditation, mm-hmm. and with mindfulness, and lots of techniques on how to remain calm and peaceful so that you get the best of your healing. They also encourage medicine and psychiatry together so that you could understand sometimes where chronic stuff comes in or where it starts and where it stops. So Ernest Holmes was very prophetic when he talked about all these things are going to merge at one point in time. All right. So we should believe in mental healing and physical healing. But he also wants us to know that the best way we can help ourselves is in the realm of spiritual healing. So he said nothing is more important than that we should be relieved from suffering. So the person who is in pain or fear naturally wishes to be released from it as soon as possible, and rightly so. So if God is good, and he said, and he could be, and he could not be anything other than good, he could not cause anybody to suffer or punish himself or for anything in order to teach him something. So God doesn't really teach something. It appears that human beings have reserved for themselves the prerogative of determining that God could cause suffering and what could be meant by it. So how I got that was that, you know, that it is a law of cause and effect. It's a cause and effect type of law. So in believing in spiritual mind treatment, we find that it is a complement to medicine, psychology, so, and to every step of therapeutics. So someday these fields will come together, as we talked about, for mutual benefit, recognition, admiration, and cooperation. And we are seeing that happening today. So what we want to do, we want to plant the seed of faith, all right? We plant faith because faith is the one integral part that kind of connects us, the human being, the human nature, to the God nature in a way, if you can put it like that. So faith and intuition is... faith depends on intuition, because what faith is what it's already feeling and knowing as truth in our own lives. So faith pulls from or is influenced by intuition. And what intuition is? Intuition is that spiritual aspect of us, is that that knowing aspect of us that we can't even know for our own selves. It's something that is there. It's a guidance. And that guidance, I call that guidance God in my life. That is God expressing through thought, through ideas, through dreams, you know. And so that helps to strengthen what I know as faith. So faith now would pull from what feels good, and then we express it out there and waiting for manifestation. So so we are to take faith very, very seriously. So when we so part of the basics of spiritual mind healing is also prayer. All right. Prayer is essential to happiness. For right thinking prayer, and we say right thinking prayer because prayer generally is linked with manifesting goodness, manifesting good things to happen in our lives. But sometimes, you know, people could unconsciously pray for things to happen to others that are not so good either, right? So we have to remember that. We have people that are influenced by, you know, rage, anger, jealousy, resentment for where they are in life, or for where they feel they are in life. And so just know that not every wish, not every thought may be the best life-enhancing thought that's out there. But guess what? The universe, because the law pays no, the law does not, what you call that?
Does not play favorites,
and it gives us, you know, what we put out, we get back. A lot of the times we put out what we want and we get what we want, and it's usually happiness, it's usually playfulness, it's usually something that we really, really want in our lives. But sometimes we may say, okay, you know, we are thinking right, we are praying right, and so this is where I want my answer to be. So before our prayer is framed in the words of possibility, we have to already remember that it exists, all right? So prayer, faith in God is a spiritual quality of the mind, as we talked about. It's an understanding that faith is higher than the intellect. So this is where we talked about the intuition. The intuition is born from the thought process. The thought out there, the cause, all right? So one should have faith in himself, faith in his fellow men, faith in the universe, and of course, faith in God. Our mind must be steady in its conviction that our life is some part of God and that the Spirit is incarnated in us. So if we remember that it's one, if we remember that from our oneness that God expresses in and through us, if we remember that, you know, in life is an expression, and we live among ourselves, we live among nature, we live among mountains and trees, wind and everything else. And so, of course, because there is an interaction of life, then we all have our own different expressions. And because of our different expressions, people have different needs. And these are where the needs show up as maybe references for healing in our lives. According to Ernest Holmes, he said, there is no personal responsibility in healing, or we can't really, you know, be responsible for, or there is no personal responsibility in healing. We should not feel that we put the power in the word. So following from the prayer and following from our faith and from our prayer, we want to be able to know that, yes, we see the need for healing. We see the need that we are interacting with others, and maybe I can readjust or adjust in certain ways, but we are not to take the full responsibility that healing happens because I have a particular thought, and that thought must make it happen. We have to remember that it is in how we direct our thoughts, how we direct our prayer is what's going to matter. So as practitioners of our faith, we know that we direct the power and we let it go. We let it do its work as we release it. If we hold on to stuff, we can never see the need or feel our needs being met because we are always in the moment of struggle in some ways. So for healing to take place, and this is for any type of healing, in some ways we have to let go. We have to let the body do its thing. Even if we pray 100,000 times a day and hold that thought, the body still has to go through its process of healing. And it's the same way that we go through our own process of healing through our faith, through strengthening our thought patterns, through strengthening and doing right thinking. So you're asking, what is right thinking? Right thinking is knowing that healing is like a revelation. It is revealing who we truly are, who we are as God expressing, who we are as human. Okay, I'll leave it as God expressing because I can't find another word. So anyone can heal who believes that he can and who will take the time to set that belief in motion. All right? So with that in mind, knowing that healing comes from... So one thing before we go further that I needed to remind you is that we were all born into race consciousness. I know race consciousness is about all the thought patterns that have been out there that we were born into. So yes, when we were born, we were pure. We were, you know, as children, we grew up and we had no sense of fear. We, you know, we depended on our parents and we depended on just being our own selves, and our own selves were happy, go lucky, you know. And as time go by, we start incorporating all the fears from our parents, from our relatives, from the world. And this type of fear, sometimes you wonder, where did this come from? It didn't come from me, it had to come from our race consciousness. So keep that race consciousness is a part, something that plays a part in our own lives. But this is where we are talking about right praying, because with right praying, we can not necessarily negate race consciousness, but we can pray from a point of affirming what we want. What do we want to be expressed? Oh, we got one visitor. And what do we want to be expressed in our lives? And stay focused on that, all right? Knowing that there are the pulls and tugs of our universe. All right. So, we can move on to asking just a few of you all if, you know, who or what are you grateful for in your life right now? And we could close this off if you want.